started last week. We have our vision statement is showing Jesus to our world. It's on actually on the front of our bulletin here. And our mission statement is come, grow, and go. Last week talked about a little bit about the welcoming heart of God and how we are representative of that. Of welcoming God. But today, Josh Cooper is going to come and share with us our second part of our mission statement called Grow. So I don't know where Josh, there he is, Josh Cooper. So this is Josh Cooper. If we could welcome Josh, it's a great blessing to us.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Fantastic. Good to be here. See some of that snow melting. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Most of us would say it's a good thing, but I am honored. I'm privileged to be able to be up here and be able to share with you all this morning and kind of share what God has been speaking to me on the topic of growth. So as Pastor Perry was saying, obviously we're going through our mission statement, which is come, grow, go. And there are a lot of really important things when it comes to growth in our lives in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense as well. So there's a couple things I'd like you to think about. Number one, okay, I have a 5 and a 3-year-old, for those of you who do not know that. Love him to death. And Rafe, he's my 5-year-old. He is finishing up preschool. He's going to go into kindergarten next year. And you get kind of thinking, okay, well, what's in store for my kids? Because there's nothing more precious to me than my family and my kids. So I'm pretty protective. I think about a lot of things, which I never really did before kids. I winged a lot of things in life, as my wife could probably attest. Still do, but not nearly as much. But if you think about it, as you're in preschool and you're going through kindergarten, you think, okay, as the school year is coming to an end, you think, okay, now I'm a kindergartner. Think, not emotionally, no, I'm kidding. So coming towards the end of you being a kindergartner, you think, okay, I got my colors down. I've got my shapes down. Life is good. Life is good. I'm growing. I'm getting smarter. Everything's amazing. You get to first grade, first thing they tell you is you can't read. You know, so they kind of kick you down a little bit, right? And then, so you go through first grade, you go through second grade, third, all the way up through eighth grade. You go through middle school, and you are on top of the world. You're like, I'm an eighth grader, nothing can touch me. I'm awesome, I'm incredible. And all of a sudden, you become a freshman, and then you find out you don't have any hair. You know, so, you know, as me, as a, it's just, you know, as a guy, you're like, man, I didn't know hair grew there, and when's my hair growing in? You know, so I'm in. Funny story. So I'm from Southern Ohio, and when I went to gym, class, this could be too much information, but like I did not get hair underneath my armpits until I was a junior in high school. So it's just like, when we're lifting weights in gym, I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt because I'm in there with, I'm in there with freshmen who had hair, and I'm just like, oh, I blame my parents to this day for my genetics. I blame my dad for my hairline, but isn't that true though? So we start at one point and we think maybe we might not know anything, and we kind of get all this information, and then we grasp it, we think we're awesome, and then we go to the next phase, and all of a sudden we kind of get kicked down a little bit. And so many times we can do that in our walk as Christians, and, you know, it's frustrating, but also there's a lot of growth and there's a lot of opportunity for us to just grow as Christians, grow as people, grow as human beings. So, excuse me, I'm sorry. So today we're going to talk about the importance of growth. So if you look up here, growth, come, grow, go. So if you look up here, if you see grow is an analogy as well. At least I came up with an analogy. Or I didn't actually come up with it. I kind of stole it. But But the crux of the material is mine, I promise. Grow, or so the G is for gospel. R is for relationships. O is for obedience. And W is for works. So, woo! We're going back to the beginning. Man, that's a good looking family. So I tried a little something different. Yeah. You're definitely going to feel a little woozy here. So I'm trying something different. We're going backwards. Sometimes you have to go backwards to go forward. So normally, if you've ever heard me speak, I typically, there we go. Boom. Okay. Woo. We're there. So the importance of growth. So growth, anything growth in the physical, in the spiritual realm, it's all natural. It's natural and it's progressive. So we start at point one or point A and we go to point B, C, D, E, F, G, H, 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 I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. So one of the amazing things about growth is it is natural and progressive. So these are my kids. That is my little girl right there. That is her first birthday. Right now she is 3 years old. She's my little princess. And this is Rafe, my ultimate warrior right here. He is 3 years old. And you look here, this was taken just a little bit before Christmas, and that's both of them. So right now you can just see it is lined out in who we are. We are designed naturally to grow and become more. And so everything we do should kind of be geared towards that mindset of, you know, I'm here, I want to be there, but I want to be there because that's what God has for me. So, growth is a development towards a goal. And this is our beliefs. This is our mission statement. Our mission statement. There's come, grow, go. If you guys, this is what we went over last week. This is what we're going to talk about today. But grow in our vision statement, it says providing a place where people can grow in their relationship with God and his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Relationships are one of the main ways we grow as Christians. Therefore, we seek to help each other grow in their relationship with God and with people. And grow is what we're going to talk about next week. But, oh, yes, as I was saying, I'm sorry. I've been speaking up here, I've never used a PowerPoint or anything like that. So I thought, why use PowerPoint? Do something a little different. So this is like a steroid version of PowerPoint if you haven't picked up on that. But we're all made for a purpose. So this is a blank canvas. We're all created initially. We are a blank canvas. And over time, God starts adding in these fine little details in our life that help us create, or to be who he's created us to be. And there are so many things that we don't see. So this artist right here, there's so many things that he's doing I wouldn't even thought about. But you know, God has blessed him with a mind to be able to see those things. And you know, God sees so many things that we don't see. And it really is amazing to me because when we're growing, we're progressing. And it's not that we're trying to get better or anything like that. It's just natural. You know what I mean? And so there are a couple things when you look at the G in growth. As Christians or as human beings, our natural growth, our progression, it starts with trusting in Jesus. And then after that comes baptism. And then so one of the scriptures that I liked was in 1 Peter 2:2. It says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So here in scripture, God's telling us that we need to grow in our salvation. It's not enough to just get saved and be baptized. There is more. God's called us to an abundant life, to have an abundant life. And here are a couple steps. So number one, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is an amazing day to do that. But so trusting in Jesus, what does that mean? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I'm so thankful to be a Christian for I don't know how many years. I was trying to think about it. It may be maybe when I'm 18, I think that's what I've kind of set on, but since I was 18, having that relationship with God, it's been amazing. There's been a lot of ups, there's been a lot of downs. I don't know what I'm doing a lot of times. He is very good to correct me. He is very good to surround me with people in my life to help me see when I'm falling short and I'm doing something silly or anything like that. And like, that's one of the amazing things about GROW in our mission statement is it's centered around relationship. Everything in God's kingdom is centered around relationship. And God did not, we are not biologically designed to not have relationships. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, if, you know, there's always time. It's not past time. There is a lot of time. But baptism. In Matthew 3, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this is John speaking. He's speaking to his disciples and his followers. But, you know, it's clear. Baptism is a real thing. It's important to do. Well, why do you do baptism? Why get baptized? It is a public confession of your Christ in Jesus, which is obviously important. But growing, when we start as a baby and we're growing, Ephesians 4:14 says, be no longer children, but grow up in Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Second Thessalonians 1, it says, the Thessalonians are growing exceedingly in faith. So he wants us to grow our faith, but what's he want us to grow to, right? So we're starting there, okay? Blank canvas, all that amazing things happening. Have you guys ever used, while I'm doing this, I'll throw my wife under the bus for being an amazing person, though. No, seriously. So, my wife, most ladies in here, how many of you like to shop, ladies? I don't believe that. Okay, whatever. So, Jesus will take care of you later. No, I'm kidding. So my wife, I had some stuff to do yesterday. I was preparing for today, and so Amanda took Claire and they went down to Polaris. Oh, yeah. And they were shopping. Amanda wanted to spend some gift cards, being an amazing wife, she got her husband something as well, which was pretty nice. And as she's leaving, she saw a homeless man as she's on Polaris Parkway. She's getting ready to get on 71, right? Was that right? Yes, okay. So being the kind-hearted soul that she is, she pulled over to give him money. And so transaction completed, washed her hands. I'm sure she was thinking, yep, I did it. As she's pulling away, she sees lights. She sees cop lights. A cop pulled her over. So he proceeded to, she got caught. No, but when she was pulling away, he pulled her over because if y'all ever leased a car, I worked for a car dealership for about a year and a half, and I still didn't get this, but I thought they just sent you your new sticker. Well, we didn't. Our sticker had expired in October. So he gave my bride a $148 ticket and then proceeded to ask for her phone number. Yeah, true story. So I'm do I have grounds to fight this ticket or what? I mean, she's trying to talk me out of it, but I want to make a phone call. The gospel was the very first step in our growth with him. It's having that personal relationship with him. First Peter 2 says that we need to grow up in our salvation. So the next step is relationships. So growing your number or your family members. So this is my family. Obviously Amanda, Rafe, Claire, and myself. Yeah. She's got. I'm sure Claire has some of those little juice packets kind of all over her cheeks there. She's, so I just want to share a personal story with you about me that, you know, so, and obviously right now it's not a big deal, but this picture right here, so I'm going to be real with you. This picture right here would not be possible if it were not for friends and relationships that I had in my life. Okay? So there was a time before kids came along, I made a lot of dumb decisions in my life, and it came to a point where I was surrounding myself with a lot of really good people, and they would talk some sense into me. Josh, you're an idiot. What are you doing? We all have those people, whether I want to hear it or not. It's good to have those people that will tell you the truth no matter what. I don't want to surround myself with yes people in my life because of this. Because this is everything that I hold dear and precious in my life. Everything I do is surrounded to protect that. And if I didn't have those relationships, that would not have existed. I would not be the man who I am today without that. So relationships in Philippians 2, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Well, what is that? In verse 7, it says, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. So all these things, all these people in my life, it's all about servant. It's all, God is love. In a relationship, we need love. So I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my job. I love my community. I love my friends. But none of that in Philippians 2:5, none of that is possible if I'm not serving the things that I love. And I'm not serving it out of duty. I'm not serving them out of obligation. I'm serving them out of love because I want to. So my goal with my wife, my kids, my job, my community, my friends, I want to give so much more to them than I get. And it's not simply because I know that if I give, that I'll get it back. It's like I love these things so much. I want to pour my soul. I want to pour everything that I have into it. Now, I do my best to serve those that I love. I do my best. I'm not always perfect, but I do my best. And some of the opportunities we have in relationships here is church or in church and outside of church, but to grow spiritually is we have those relationships. We have a couple of the steps here that I came up with is small groups. One of the ways to foster those relationships is get into small groups. We have so many small groups here, midweeks. We have Sunday mornings, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights. I think it's kind of on a hold for a little bit, but get into a small group. If you haven't got into a small group, it is a great place to build these relationships. I cannot stress this enough. So when you're going through something in your life, you're going to have family there to pour in and bounce things off of. It's so healthy, but also you can serve. So we have the produce market, which is the third Saturday of every month. You can serve in the children's ministry. You can serve in the nursery. You can serve as an usher. You can serve as a greeter. And there's also teams you can get involved in. All these things, they create a community. They create a foundation of who you are. Almost like I don't know what the word I'm thinking of is, but almost people to kind of keep you accountable. Because if I'm on a team, let's say, for instance, I'm on the volleyball team and I'm gone for a couple of weeks, somebody's probably going to call and kind of check in on me and make sure I'm doing all right, right? Makes sense. But all these things are forcing us to create the relationships because that's what God wants. God wants us to have those relationships. And O is for obedience. Obedience, just like I said, is just serving in love. These people here, they cannot do what they do for the money. The firefighter, the serviceman, the teacher. Maybe Jordan Spieth's caddy would do it for the money. He gets paid very handsomely. But they're serving. And and they're serving out of love. They're serving out of devotion. They're serving out of call. Because obviously that they feel like that that's what they're supposed to do. So obedience, what is love? Got to do with it. Got to do with it. So, thank you very much. You know, sometimes it feels like you're on an island up here. You know, you're just kind of talking. I want to have some conversation, okay? So, what is love? Love is obedience to His commands and the calls on His life, the calls on our life, right? That is love. So, I'm loving, and out of that love, I'm going to be obedient to what He's saying, and I'm going to go after what He has for me in my life. 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you've heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Love conquers all. God is love. And if we don't have love, what do we have? Still trying to figure out the clicking if you haven't figured that out. But there are steps to the obedience. So we've already got G for the gospel. We got R for relationships. And now we're on O for obedience. So what does it look like to be obedient? Here are a couple things. And these are all personal disciplines. All of these are all personal disciplines. It's your own choice to do these or not do these. You know, but in relationships, they can help you, help keep you accountable and help you going. But the first one's prayer. Prayer, you want to develop and nurture your personal relationship with God. Prayer is all about intimacy. Prayer is your conversation and your communion with God. It's hard for me to love my wife if I'm not going to have a healthy conversation with her. And it's the same thing with God. Have that conversation with Him. You can study, you can dig deeper, you can learn the details of His word, you can put it into action, you can do all these amazing things. Fasting is going to draw you closer to God. In Matthew 9, 14 through 15, so Jesus was questioned about fasting, and why his disciples weren't fasting. So in verse 14 it says, John's disciples ask, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And he answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be gone, and then they will fast. So the disciples didn't fast because they had God. God was there. He was literally with them at all times. So they didn't need to fast. So many amazing things about fasting in our personal disciplines is we can, if we need clarification or we just want answers, things like that, or you just want to feel closer to God, fasting is a great way to do it. So we're just wrapping up here a 21-day fast, which ends tomorrow or Tuesday? Tuesday? And I know there's some amazing stories for people going through fast, just what God's speaking to them. And it's just amazing just that when you set that time, you set that discipline aside to be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to give this up. You know, there can be partial fast. There can be, so you can abstain from all food. You can eat only sparingly of certain kinds of foods. Or you can cause to abstain entirely from eating. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you're doing, and you're doing that in honor of God, He's going to honor that back. I can assure you, 100%, I guarantee it, take it to the bank. And stewardship. So in our personal disciplines, what are we doing for stewardship? Whether it be, how are we stewarding our relationships? How are we stewarding our kids? How are we stewarding our finances? How are we stewarding our time? Time is a big one for me. I do so many things, I can get spread out thin, and I look like a Doc from Back to the Future sometimes with the hair, or at least that's how I feel like I look. It's just real frazzled. But what are you doing with what He's given you? He's given you time, He's given you family, He's given you money, He's given you a car, He's given you a bicycle, He's given you something. What are you doing to steward that? And so, obviously stewardship, you can always go back to, the sower and the seed parable, which is obviously great. But, are you not using what you have? So if he's giving you these things, are you even using it? If he's giving you 10 talents, are you using the talents? If he's giving you 20, are you using them? Are you not using them at all? That's something that I need to ask myself a lot. Are you fearful of using those talents? Because of what may come about. You know, fear is kind of natural, but fear is stupid. It is. It's stupid because so many times there's, you know, like I can share time after time after time. There are things even in my profession, which I love. Like I love my job. I love my profession, but there are aspects of it that I am fearful of doing. And like when you step across that chicken line and you actually do it, you're walking around with your chest out. Like I did it. That's right. I did it. But then you see the results of it. And like, I'm not thinking, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done that. You know, because we break through that fear because God has given us a talent and the enemy is going to try to convince us that we don't want to do it. The enemy doesn't want us to use our talents. So he creates that fear in us. And once we break through that fear, you see amazing things happen. We're just going to wrap up here with works. So yes, I said works and grow. If you thought salvation was free, I have good news. It is. But we're saved through grace. We're saved through grace in our confession in Jesus Christ. So who he is for us. But through that salvation, becoming Christians, we're growing. We want to get kind of closer and closer and closer to the fullness of God that is the gospel. Because I have a firm foundation in my life, and I'm sure a lot of you guys agree with this, but what does it look like to be a Christian? Okay, so there are times we ask ourselves that. What does it look like? In my non-professional opinion, it looks like our everyday life modeling Jesus Christ walking on earth. So what did Jesus do? He did great things. He loved people. He was in relationships. He was in communion with God 100% of the time. He heard from the Father, and he healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. He threw tables over. He went fishing. He did everything, but he did it fully submitted to God, fully yielded to God. So what does my life look like and how do I stack up to that? Not very good most days. There are days where I'm like, all right, that's right. I'm doing it. But I go back. It's not out of the obligation. I'm humbly submitted to God. God, our Father. We have the best father in the entire world. And what father or what kid, son or daughter, does not want to do whatever they can to please their father? And they do it out of love. They want, Daddy, what? Daddy, how'd I do? Daddy, how'd I do? That's what our Father wants. He wants it so much more than I want it, and I want it a lot. But in James 2, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. In Matthew 7, it says, by the fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So when people recognize you, do they recognize the Father? Do they recognize the kingdom of heaven? Do they recognize God? So is that natural progression? It's not. We're not always going to get there, but we can always do our best. And we do it out of love. So as we begin to produce fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How are we demonstrating those things in our life? Let me read them again. Love, joy, peace, forbearance. Don't know what that is, but patience. Don't pray for that, so I heard. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But you thought salvation was free, right? It is free. But they're going to know, see, it is free. I played with that for like a half hour to get that to work. So I had to show it. So while we're growing and we're in the W stage in our life. So basically there are three stages in our Christian walk, right? There's the G phase, which is the gospel phase. We accept Jesus. There's the R phase. We're in relationships, in which I think we should always be in the R phase. So all these things are kind of interwoven together, but we're building those relationships in the R phase. The O phase is an obedience. We're serving out of love. We're serving out of compassion. And then W is in the works phase. So how are people going to know that we're a follower of Christ? You know, so here are a couple ways that you can demonstrate that you can work on yourself. Obviously, these are all personal disciplines as well. But you can share, you can evangelize, you can make disciples, and you can even be the church. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I have a couple seconds left. So share. So you want to share testimonies. You want to share God's stories. You want to share what God's doing in your life. You want to share those stories with Christians. You want to share those stories with pre-Christians, because they're going to be Christians at some point. It builds faith and it builds excitement on what he's doing. So what are we doing to help facilitate that? First Thessalonians 1, not simply by your words, but also with power and by the Holy Spirit, deep conviction, sharing with power, not only with words, but with power. Evangelizing, what's that? Spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with power. Does anybody know what that means, with power? We'll go back. What? With Holy Spirit. So, It's not good enough. Maybe in some instances, but not for myself, because, you know, like my meter, how I evaluate myself is, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? How do I do it? You know, 9 times out of 10, I don't do it right, but I'm trying. So I want to do it. You know, I want to do it 8 times out of 10, then 7 out of 10. And like all these things, you know, I want to get better, serving and loving and make disciples. Obviously, this is the Great Commission in Matthew 28. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The worship team can come up. And so this is what he's called us to do as Christians. So when we're in phase four, when we're doing the works part per se, we should be focused on evangelizing. We should be focused on making disciples of all the world. And there are so many ways we can do that, but people are going to know it, know who you represent. It's just like me going to a, you know, like I'm a Browns fan, I know. Yeah, faith. That's why I have so much faith. You know, it was kind of beaten into me as a child. But when I go to the Browns games, I'm representing their colors. I'm wearing their gear. I'm wearing my sweatshirt, my t-shirt, whatever, my winter hat, all that stuff. I'm representing the Browns. So when everybody knows that I'm at a Browns game, they know I'm a Browns fan, for better or for worse. The same thing as Christians. We're known by the fruit of the Spirit. So we're known by our patience, our perseverance, our forbearance, our love, our joy, all that amazing things. They know what team we play for. And through the Great Commission, it's not just, hey, come to church, come to a great service, whatever, but it's you start in the G phase, go through the R, the O, to the W, and it becomes cyclical. And I know for me personally, I can go through the I personally like to hang out between the O and the W a lot. You know, so I'll be all over in the W, And then I'll kind of, I'll go back over here to just O. I maybe might revert back a little bit to the R. But the goal is to the fullness of Christ and the fullness of the gospel is to continue growing, continue developing myself, working on myself, because it's up to me. It's not up to my wife if I read the Bible. It's not up to my wife if I pray. It's not up to Jason Jordan. It's not up to Jason to teach my kids. Even though I trust him. Because he's an engineer. But it's a personal discipline. And through all this stuff, it comes down to this. So what does the Bible call us to do? He's created us naturally to be the church. Not in the church, but to be the church. So when we go outside, we are the church. So what does that look like? Care for the widows. That's in 1 Timothy, in case you don't believe me. He's told us to feed the hungry, food pantry, whatever, money to the homeless man. Heal the sick, to visit the prisoners. Turn your cheek. That's not always easy. Give clothes to the needy. All this is in the Bible. You know, and I just want to caution you that there are times you will probably just do it because you know you're supposed to do it. And sometimes that's okay because you're still doing it. But I just want to encourage you, as we're growing into the fullness and we're being who God's created us to be, let that obedient, listen to the Holy Spirit guide you, direct you. You know, it's hard to make disciples because in the Great Commission it says, teach them all that I have told you. If you don't read the Bible, it's hard to make a disciple. If you're not listening to what he's saying, be led by the Holy Spirit, it's hard to make a disciple. At least a very good one. Judas. No, I'm kidding. Crickets, no. So what I want to do today is, you know, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never even thought about it, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. Also, if you're kind of stuck in one of these, areas, whether it be, you know, you're really focused on the gospel area, you're really focused on the relationship area, you're really focused on the obedience or in the works area, today is going to be a day where we can avoid the obstacles in our life and we can say, okay, God, I'm ready. Show me what I got to do. Okay? So if that's any of you, I tell you what, I'm just going to, so don't be alarmed. We're all going to stand at some point. But if that's you and you're ready to take one step, even if it's a little baby step, if you're ready to take one step, I just want you to stand and I'm going to pray with you. If you want to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior for the first time, I would just encourage you. If you want to get better knowing the gospel and your relationships, your obedience and works, this is the time. Why not? I shared Friday night, for those of you that were at the best thing, you know, something God's been talking to me about was, so many times, I think even in our Christian life, we can come to church, we can do all the right things. We can read our Bible every day, we can pray every day, we can be great servants, you know, we can lead worship, we can play a guitar, we can do all these things. But if we're doing them because we're supposed to, and we're doing them out of the works aspect, and not out of the obedience aspect, so we're doing it because we love him, not because, or we're doing it because we have to, not because we love him. You know, so many doors, you know, it kind of feels like you're kind of hitting your head on the wall almost. So, you know, God, I wholeheartedly agree that God is in the process of just helping us see that we cannot work for his salvation. We cannot work for his forgiveness. We can't do that one more thing that might get me to feel a little closer to him. Honestly, all you have to do is be like Mary. Just be at the feet of Jesus and just be there. It has nothing, it literally has not one thing to do with us. Nothing at all. It's all because Jesus died for us. He came, he died, and he rose for us, for you. And you may not feel like it's like you all the time, but I have a deep conviction that he would have came if it were just one, for just one of us. How many of us fathers and mothers in here would not lay their lives on the line for their kids? I would do anything that I could to protect my kids. No matter where they are in life, no matter how old they get, I'm going to be their daddy. And I'm going to love them. When they tell me to go away because I'm loving them too much, I'm going to love them some more. And when I don't feel like I can love them anymore, I'm going to love them more. Because God loves me so much more than I could ever love my kids. Ever. He loves each and every one of you so much more than you can ever love your kids, or you feel like you're even lovable. Because God loves you. Father God, we just thank you. God, we just thank you for today. God, we just thank you for the reflection of who you are in our lives. God, we thank you for your sacrifice. God, we thank you for coming as a man, living, dying, and raised again. Father God, we just thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the call in our lives. God, we thank you, God, that it is natural for us to grow. God, we just thank you for the progressive nature of who you are. God, help us to see you more clearly. Help us know the gospel better, God. Help us do relationships better. Help us be obedient more and more, Father God, so that they may see that we are on your team, God. God, you are the coach. You are the owner. You are the general manager, God. You are everything. God, I thank you, God, that you have chosen us. God, you drafted us to be on your team. God, and I thank you, God, we all play a role, we all play a part. Father God, we just welcome more of your revelation, God. I pray as we go through this week, God, you just help us recognize the favor on our life and walk in the favor in our life, Father. God, we thank you for your grace. It is sufficient. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.